report. I would formally want to open the meeting by welcoming everyone who's here in the meeting, DG, our new appointed DG, not in a DG sphere, but in Cocta family, DG Vus Madonsela. And also I'd like to welcome in this meeting National Chairperson Salga. Because the paper that I'm waiting for. Councillor Ubaba Uthabo Manyoni. I'll also want to welcome Salga CEO, Councillor George. Hey, and also Deputy Chairperson, National Deputy Chairperson of SALDA, Baba SK Mashilo, who is my entire province. And also other NEC SALDA members. I'm seeing a signature here, not a name. Let me see. Johnson. But I don't like this, yeah. That's why I'm saying this style of yours writing here with signatures. I wanted just a simple list so that I will formally welcome you and recognize all of you. And also I also want to welcome the chairperson of demarcation board with the newly elected CEO, which is a female Malibongwe from demarcation board.
Appointed.
And maybe when doing your presentation you'll formally introduce yourself and welcoming you. Ladies and gentlemen, Section 5 of the Money Bills Act provides that National Assembly through its committees must annually assess the performance of each department and its state entities. These performance assessments measure and evaluate strategic priorities with a view to use them as a threshold level. To do this evaluation as a strategic and operational plan against outcomes of department, we also measure the performance on service delivery and consider the spending trends analysis through maybe asking a report from National Treasury, which is not most of the time for public consumption, but we are allowed to check on it when doing our work on checking on spending trends on each department and our own state entities. Also, the Act provides that the committee must consider SCOPA reports and other state entities' reports like Financial Fiscal Commission's reports and its recommendations. And also on those reports, at this time, because the Act provides that we must start this process maybe before the end of September or the first week or until the second week of October. We check these annual reports on expenditure on how are we going to verify the performance of each and every state entity or department on fruitless expenditure, wasteful expenditure, irregular expenditure, even over expenditure and unauthorized expenditure, so that we'll be able to discuss those issues and also to check that all those performances and spending talks to the strategic plans that we used to receive at the beginning of the year. With these few remarks on highlighting on our today's meeting as our objective as a committee, we are busy with this BRR report. At the end, we'll compile the reports and write some recommendations, the recommendations which will straightly ask for intervention to each and every department or each and every ministry whereby we've evaluated that it needs intervention. Without any waste of time, then I will call upon in our agenda today, we'll be receiving briefing on annual reports from SALGA, followed by MTP. And I don't see members from CRS. We'll be having three presentations today, then we'll be done for the day. Chairperson, I'll maybe formally want to hand over to you. And again, so that I'll see the people whom I was trying to welcome and introduce your team and get into the presentation. Thanks.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, members of the committee, and also our colleagues from the demarcation board. So let me not really waste much of the committee's time, but I think it will be proper for me to put it on record that we have submitted apologies from some of the members who are supposed to be here. Unfortunately, those members are women in SALGA. Abu Mama, they've got lots of real work. My apologies on their behalf. For instance, we have NCOP in the Northern Cape, so our SALGA member, they had to be part of the committee there doing work. And also, there's a council sitting in Eastern Cape, the municipality, area assistance is right, and also the metro there, and also there's also a sitting for where Councillor Pinky Mulwe comes from. So those members are not present here. I think it is proper that I put that on record that they've submitted the apologies because of the related work. Air government. If you allow, Chair, I would not really take much of time of the committee because we will be doing a presentation, so I will not go through the presentation per se, but I would just like to indicate that though we will be doing an introduction in terms of the five past year periods, that SALGA to date for the past three successive years, it has been getting an unqualified audit report, which is quite commendable. But nonetheless, it doesn't necessarily mean everything is working quite well. There basically are a few areas that we still are working on, but there has been some improvement in some other areas, Chair. We will also, besides our internal workings and our involvement with municipalities, assisting them, for instance, currently with the establishment of AMA-MPEX in all our municipalities to make sure that the oversight work is also done at the local level. Obviously, the training thereof is one thing that is now key at the present juncture there. We are working with them in that regard. And two, we will also be highlighting our work with Parliament in terms of the NCOP, that we did actually have an NCOP Local Government Week, which is now becoming will be an annual event for this Parliament and for this government, where NCOP Parliament is focusing exclusively on local government matters. So it's quite a significant move in that regard. I would also like to indicate, Chairperson, it will be highlighted there also briefly, our role as SALGA in the international arena, that We as SALGA have been requested, Chair, to assist in ensuring that there is unity of local governments particularly in the Africa continent, we will indicate the role there. I must indicate that SALGA has been requested to play a mediatory role in this regard, in ensuring that we have one local government in the Africa continent. You know the politics that are prevailing there in terms of our colleagues from the Francophone speaking countries versus the English speaking countries. The debacle that we had, if I must call it that, when we were moving towards appointing one of our own, Umama Nkosi Zamazuma, it was a manifestation of the prevailing politics there. But hopefully, SALGA will take its role in ensuring that at least we have one voice as local government in the Africa continent, because it will also assist with the vision of this country in terms of international relations, in ensuring that mostly Africa problems can be resolved by Africans. But the third point, Chairperson, which really I would like to bring to the attention of the committee, and maybe it will be in terms of our recommendation, something that we will have to engage on outside now the annual report and the performance, is the issue of looking into amendments of Organized Local Government Act. In this regard, there are two critical issues, Chairperson. One is the funding model for SALGA. You know, SALGA is an association of voluntary municipalities, so it becomes very difficult, given the role that we are playing, as I indicated, internationally and so forth, to have proper sustainable funding. So it is something that we will have to look into when we are looking into proposing amendments of Organized Local Government Act. And two, it is also the issue of having permanent members in the NCOP. Chairperson, I know also the issues that you've been raising before. For instance, you don't see other members, you don't see the chairperson appearing in front of the committee and so forth. It is because of the structural arrangement that we have. Though the constitution says there will be local organized association, the act needs to be really properly amended in that regard. Because we are more working as ad hoc. The more you concentrate on SALGA matters, you become a visiting mayor in your own municipality. The more you concentrate on your municipality, you then are seen not to be performing effectively on SALGA matters. So there are proposals in that regard. But most of the Chairperson, the issue there is, given the fact that municipalities are impacted by almost all national departments, whether it's energy, it's water, it's transport, all these things are taking place at the municipality level. It is proper for us to make sure that we then have members who are committed from municipalities participating in all our committees of parliament, whether it's study group, whether it's caucuses, to be able to bring the issues and the pieces of legislation that might be having an impact on service delivery. The fact of the matter presently that we are faced with, Chairperson, is that service delivery protests are increasing in our country, and they play a role at the municipality level. And these service delivery protests are becoming more and more violent. The issue there is it only lack of capacity? Are we having legislation that make it very difficult for us to deliver service? So at this level, it is proper that we then have a committed person body, hence we are talking about permanent members, who will then be able to indicate where are the problematic areas for you to be able then to assist in revising some of the pieces of legislation that might be impacting on delivering an effective service to our communities. One example that I can give, Chairperson, for instance, when we were moving towards the FIFA World Cup, we put up an act to fast-track service delivery. Then after that, because it was meant specifically for 2010 World Cup, and after that we went back to the old ways of doing things. It's one example that I'm trying to indicate. There are then acts that are also impacting on local government, though local government as municipalities do not necessarily have powers in terms of working on those type of acts. For instance, quite recently we have realized that when people are evicted from even private places, like it has happened with the Blue Moon, in Gauteng, the municipality is then compelled to get an alternative place. I'm not talking about a land where people can just go. An alternative decent place for people to stay. Whereas we know that on issues of human settlement per se, in terms of the act, it is the Department of Human Settlement that has to look into matters of human settlement. So there are those type of acts which I think one or another we need to have a coordinated effort at the parliamentary level, at your level, to be able to deal with. And the issue of having an ad hoc arrangement where SALGA, we are supposed to be temporary members in the NCOP, it makes it quite a little bit difficult because all councillors are appointed to serve in their own councils. And then the time that they might be spending also at this level becomes an issue. So that structural arrangement need to really be revisited. But as I'm saying, although I'm stressing this, it is not necessarily really the issue in terms of the annual report, but it is an issue that is impacting on us delivering in terms of the mandate that the Constitution has given to this body. And it will be proper that sometime we look into it, and also the challenges that I've indicated, your service delivery issues that are coming out at municipality level. So the request will be that we look into this matter outside today's sitting, and we will then be able to provide also the written recommendations in that regard. With those opening remarks, we have my colleagues here, Chairperson, will also assist on other issues, but I would like to hand over again back to you, my Honourable Chair, for the meeting to proceed. Thanks very much.
Wendy Nelson from Northwest, deployed at for Costa.
Ngunkosi Zwelivele Kamandela, hailing from the Eastern Cape, the land of legends, deployed by the African National Congress in the National Assembly.
Colin Musimane from Gauteng, member of the committee.
Trevor Bonham from KZN, member of the ANC.
abantu bathoba ilungu le committee liphume eMpuma Koloni.
Morning everybody. I'm Matanki Somahlangu. I'm from Pretoria Municipal Demarcation Board.
Lebohang Tikane, Cocktail PLO.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members and the Members of SAUDA. I'm Gigi Gosnell. I'm in the Office of the Director General, Department of Cooperative Governance.
Good morning, Honorable Members and Chairpersons and all members. I'm Gabi Kumbi Masilela, CEO of the Demarcation Board. Thank you.
Morning, Kevin Naidu, member of COCTA.
Good morning, Honorable Members. I'm Kulia George Salga.
Morning, Chairperson, Honorable Members. My name is Moses Matonsela, Director General of the Department of Cooperative Governance.
Morning. My name is Landio Matamu, Chairperson of the Municipal Demarcation Board.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Willie Johnson, Chairperson of SAUDA Northern Cape and member of the NEC of SAUDA.
Madam Chair, I'm Councillor Mashilo, the NEC member of SAUDA.
Chairman, my name is Mkhona Awad, the Deputy Chair of SAUDA National.
No.
I said you are coming from the same place.
Good morning, my name is Steph Khadiri. I'm the chairperson of the committee of the Municipal Demarcation Board.
I'm the leader of the member of the Demarcation Board.
My name is Swen Lala. I'm from Sank.
No, thanks for that short introduction. I'll, Chairperson, I'll give over to CEO. CEO is going to do presentation, so that we'll get into a presentation.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. As indicated by the Chair of SAUDA, this presentation is a story of progress over the last 5 years of the start plan that we presented to the committee, and also reflecting on the post-transition period of last year, 2011, when we had local government election. So it is also a statement of the current leadership of SAUDA in terms of its first 353 days in office since it was elected 1 September last year.
Maybe before you continue, I'll allow and welcome members to just, it will be a working meeting, a breakfast, everything. You grab a cup of tea, you're free to go and grab a cup of tea, dish your fruit, and then like, so that we work on the other side, we balance the liquids and solids.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think over the last 10 years, local government has fairly consolidated. And there are areas of commendable progress, especially on the shape of local government, both from a policy support, from a legislative enablement, and also from a focus on service delivery. So as we see the story of consolidation over the last 10 years, we are now at a stage post-2011 election with a much more firmer shape of local government, with 278 municipalities. Simultaneously, the role of SALGA has strengthened over the same period. And we are looking at a period where, since 2007, we have focused on the core areas of SALGA's mandate, its employer role, its representation role, support role, as well as profiling role. But mid-term of that period, we had to adjust post 2009, taking into account the medium-term strategic framework that outlines the national priorities. So the outcomes delivery orientation then impacted positively on us reshaping our strategic orientation. So the statement we're presenting before the committee would focus on the 10 focus areas that we identified in that period. We have also taken a full swing journey, and in short, Chairperson, what this slide communicates is that the organization is on a stabilization and the upward trajectory, both in terms of how it has consolidated itself and how it has tackled areas that need to strengthen its outlook. And some of the corporate governance dividends of that strengthened organization have now largely given a positive outcome on the points that the Chairperson has outlined. We have also at the level of institutional performance year on year as presented to the Honorable Committee, seen a trajectory of positive outlook for the organization, both at the level of performance and also at the level of impacting positively for the sector on a wide range of areas of its own advocacy, as well as shaping legislation that must assist local government to discharge its responsibilities. So we've seen a tremendous performance positive outlook for the organization, and also a statement of approval by Auditor General in terms of our performance outcome. So we've registered 84% performance for the year in question, which is 2011-2012. These are some of the key highlights that characterize the year under review. And as I've indicated, Chairperson, this was one of the most complex periods in terms of managing both the year end of your five-year plan, at the same time managing a tricky transition leading to 18 May. So SALGA had to play a visible role, one, in preparing the sector to transition towards May, at the same time during the transition itself, and prepare also post the transition. And I think we felt very well as the organization in terms of providing stability and also guidance in the sector. And simultaneously preparing SALGA itself for a transition informed by the changes in the sector in terms of new councils and electing leadership of SALGA provincially as well as national. So managing that factor also to an extent did impact on our performance, even though it was not so significant, having registered 84% performance overall. But the true test of that, Chairperson, is the stability that immediately post 18 May the sector has realized, and also preparing no less than 10,055 councillors to be able to discharge their responsibilities. So SALGA ran councillor induction program, portfolio sessions, preparing almost 88% of councillors to be able to discharge their responsibilities. We have also, as of December last year, at the level of local government mobilization, ensure that the role of local government in the climate change COP17 World Conference held in our shores is held very well, and local government played a critical role to an extent that our municipalities now have clear plans in terms of the post COP17 sustainability projects and climate change legacy programs. We have also looked at areas around the amendments on the Municipal Systems Amendment Act, especially the phase we are in now, looking at the draft regulations, which the leadership of SALGA is engaging the Minister of Culture, and we are poised to find a solution in those areas where there may have been reservations from the side of organized local government. So there's a deeper engagement that is looking positive in terms of resolving this. The issue of outgoing councillors, also SALGA lobbied successfully that outgoing councillors have to receive a gratuity payment and the progress we will share with the committee in terms of how far this matter has gone. Also on the area of municipal finance, which is a critical issue, we have also focused on this, and we have covered no less than 8,600 councillors and municipal officials responsible for finance on the areas of the new enablement that looks at capacitating MMCs for finance as well as municipal officials on municipal finance. Also on the ongoing engagement on the guidelines for the tricky interface between political office bearers and municipalities, normally referred to as the Troika, how to provide proper guidelines to make sure that programming at municipality governance interface is managed very well. So SALGA proactively ensure that we're able to provide leadership and guide the municipalities, and this was well received by municipalities that have gone through this. In short, Chairperson, having outlined in the few slides the progress over the last 2011-2012, simultaneously, out of the conference of SALGA that was held in Durban, a new five-year strategic plan had to be crafted by the new NEC to make sure that it translates the aspirations of municipalities in terms of how they see local government being strengthened. So the five-year strategy plan has now identified areas that respond and assist in terms of realizing the local government turnaround strategy, especially the areas that seek to strengthen the governance, financial as well as capacitation of local government. So it positions the organization over the next 5 years to be member-centric, to respond to issues of members, provide value-added services to members, and be responsive to a number of issues that harness partnership to position the organization as a high-performance sector. Based on these areas, in short, Chairperson, we have distilled a number of commitments that local government has mandated the leadership of SALGA, and packaged them into basically 7 priority areas. And of those, having identified the 3 topmost priorities, and those areas are now translated into the mandate of SALGA on the employer role, on the capacity building, on the support, strategic, and creating SALGA as a knowledge hub for the sector. So based on these 7 goals, 3 priorities have now been identified in terms of improving municipal capacity, reviewing legislative and policy, as well as fiscal and financial management. So we will be focusing on these goals as the key outcomes that we would want to see local government being able to discharge its role. At the level of the IGR engagement, Chairperson, the newly elected leadership of SALGA has a structured relationship with the Minister of COGTA to engage on critical areas affecting local government. And this is also going to focus on other sectors that have a major built environment impact, like your housing, transport, water, and also finance. So there will be a standing engagement insofar as identifying priorities, working closely with the ministry in realizing the local government turnaround objectives. The second aspect relates to engagement at the national level with cabinet, as well as the presidential coordinating committee. And the most recent one has been our participation at the level of the Presidential Infrastructure Coordinating Commission, and also at the level of the budget forum. And as recent as 2 days ago, we have participated and made new proposals on a number of areas that are critical to local government. We have also seen areas that look at identifying constraints, especially in areas where there's ESCOM providing electricity, and we've made specific proposals in that regard. The area around draft regulation for condition of service for senior managers is a critical area that we have been seized with, and at the moment we're also engaging COGTA and sharing ideas on how to better manage the transition envisaged by January 2013 in terms of expected competency standards. So we are in sync as the department with SALGA in terms of how to approach this matter going forward. the major issue of, that has also affected the sector quite strongly, Chairperson, is around the recent AG report on municipalities. Indeed, it presents a statement of joint responsibility for us to ensure that local government capacity is gradually and constantly reinforced to improve financial governance. And we think that the partnership of SALG, National Treasury, COCTA, AG, and the provincial treasuries would prove critical in turning around some of the areas that have not been well received in terms of the outcomes. But we thought one of the critical areas in terms of the three priorities I've outlined is strengthening governance in the field. Now, one of the critical areas that has been identified as an instrument to strengthen oversight is the establishment of Municipal Public Accounts Committee. So the statement before the committee chairperson presents a picture of confidence in terms of the establishment rate of Municipal Public Accounts Committee. And the audit committee's establishment rate as well, even though on the areas of vacancies for fiscal positions like MNs and CFO, there is still a challenge around that. But we think that the reinforcement of MPECs to work alongside audit committees to look at complementarity, to look at working to identify priority areas of early detection where there's challenges. SALGA has now covered capacitation in almost all provinces, except in provinces where there's been a late start in the establishment, including Free State, where there's now positive consideration of establishment of this committee. We have also looked at the complexity of the regular environment, especially the area that identify intervention. So in some of the areas, much there has been an outcry on the areas of adverse and disclaimers. There has been also a positive statement of improvement by local government. And we think that building from that strength would also reassure confidence that gradually the system is consolidating. Gradually, oversight mechanisms are in place to strengthen local government. So that will be a critical focus area for us as SALGA to look at leadership playing its role in terms of this area. We have also identified what needs to be done in relation to these matters. So we have identified about seven areas that we think if local government responds positively to this, indeed there will be a commendable improvement from the close to 50% unqualified audits that we have seen so far. And these are the areas that we think if there's been a focus, indeed local government will improve. We are grappling with the issue of competency standards, interpretation, and so on. But what we think is very critical is a collaborative role between National Treasury and COCTA, especially when there is issuance of circulars, which sometimes come with different interpretative frameworks. So when they land at the desk of local government, to an extent, some of them are a bit problematic. So we think that if there's a tighter interface at that level, it would go a long way in terms of ensuring that there is a single coordination of guidelines coming the way of local government. So we've identified what needs to be done in terms of dealing with conflicting requirements, in terms of competence standards. These are some of the challenges that we think we are now agreeing that there has to be a review on some of them. And also the area of filling of vacancies. We are constantly monitoring this area in SALGA, and we think that there is a correlation between high vacancy rates, especially when there's prolonged acting, and the outcome of audits. So when this thing is tackled at leadership level, we have seen a positive corresponding effect in those municipalities where there is stability. So some of the areas the new regulation will be looking at is to deal with the question of stability. The issue of training is one area that we are seized with, especially the implementation of the standards that will come into effect in January. For us to reach this level, we think that there is a need for a better nuanced capacitation in terms of local government, and also make sure that there is visible leadership at local government level. We also think that there's a need for a better integration of some of the key principles, values and ethos that have been outlined in Section 195 of the Constitution to make sure that also local government is focusing in a well-structured framework to respond to those. We have identified, Chairperson, out of all the challenges that AG has raised, that in fact there's 81 municipalities that we need to pay a particular focus. Those who have received disclaimers and those who have not been able to submit audit report, and we have mapped them out in terms of which provinces these municipalities fall into. So this coming week, 22nd and 25 October, SALGA will be convening these 81 municipalities in Gauteng for the province of Limpopo, Northwest, Northern Cape, and in Eastern Cape, those are the four provinces where we've identified this. So the leadership of SALGA will be engaging with them, and we've identified technical support infrastructure that would identify areas that we could be able to move this zone from where it is to also a positive zone in terms of financial outcome. On the area of governance, as I've indicated, we are focusing on further strengthening the interface of impact and audit committees, and also looking at the capacitation of Section 79 committees. One of the areas that the Chair of SALGA has raised is the need to say, as we improve governance at municipalities, so required is the strengthening of organized local government. So at the areas of policy vigilance, legislative inputs that takes into account provincial context, local government is able to have a better role to play in terms of visibility. So we've identified areas within this legislation from its establishment phase where there's a need for a greater visibility of SALGA. On the areas of annual financial statements, again, we have identified SCM as one challenging area, and we think one of the critical areas is to also appreciate the challenge, Chairperson, that we think a number of existing laws over this same period, well-intended as they are, but they have also rocked local government in terms of the pace, the complexity, the cost that local government, as new regulations come, as new guidelines come, or changes in craft standards visit the sector. So I've just highlighted some of these areas that, well-intended as they are, but the pace and scale as they come, they also rock the system. So these are some of the contextual issues we think that they need to be appreciated in terms of enabling local government to bed down the transformation, at the same time be able to cope effectively. This is just an example, sorry for the poor slide in terms of differentiation of the picture, but the middle slide, the bigger picture, shows an example of a change visited to local government and the triggering effect of what needs to be done on that guideline that is issued. If you look at club standards, you look at asset management regulation, for a municipality to comply with that, if you take a metropolitan municipality, you will have to look at the cost of compliance, and we're just using the example of a Tekwini Metro, that over that period you will require 400 million to be able to effect the change that I envisage on that by introducing new policies, review of financial maintenance, extensive ongoing training, alignment of ICT system, and the additional capacity. The second one requires us to deal with a minor amendment, revised procurement regulation that was issued in December 2011. And this is what it triggers for the sector to do, to require a new system of certification and all of those issues. So we're just citing that what would appear as a minor adjustment, it triggers an overall effect to local government that the cost, scale, complexity does visit changes. And when AG comes at the end of the year, you might find that out of a 12-month period, you have only complied with 3 months because you have to deal with all these elementary issues. So it does rock the system a bit. On the area of audit process, we are engaging with the AG, and in a number of areas we are finding each other. The municipal viability project is also one area that is a key priority for SALGA, and there we are focused on the fiscal review. So the last 2 days we spent time at the budget forum detailing specifically what we think needs to be done on the review, especially on the equitable share. Secondly, on the funding for district municipalities, and thirdly, on the area of dealing with the attacking municipalities and so on, as well as the ESCOM management of the interface of revenue collection. On the IGR, engaging with the legislatures, I think the Chair of SALGA has covered, Chairperson, that there's a much more heightened visibility between SALGA and interface with the NCOP, and culminating into the Local Government Week, where we've identified a lot of issues that as local government we think need to be done. The review of organized local government will spend some time in the main three areas that we will be engaging in detail with the committee as the year unfolds, in terms of what we think needs to be done to strengthen local government. One of those areas is the participation, as well as participation both at NCOP and provincial legislatures, as well as the area of sustainability of the organization, plus the full-time leadership at the level of SALGA. So these are just details of what we are containing on that. The Local Government Week was one of the key highlights for us, and it really demonstrated the positive dividends when there is an interface practical between provincial executive, national executive, provincial legislature, and national legislature with local government. And most of these have really been successful, Chairperson. On the international profiling, the Chair of SALGA has already identified the area of work where SALGA is linking cities in our country with other municipalities, but also playing a role in supporting the strengthening of sister associations in the continent. On the councillor support area, these are some of the key gains made in 2011-2012 in terms of some of the enabling infrastructure for public representative at local government level, which we think they have been well received by local government. Working together with COPCA, there's been a number of commendable positive outcomes around dealing with the councillor support issues. So as we registered the gain last year, these are the focus areas for 2012-2013, which again, we are finding each other in common, and we think it will go a long way in stabilizing some of the inequities that have hitherto existed in local government. One of the critical areas that has been publicly reported is the area of risk cover for councillors. As the Chairperson of SALGA has indicated, there has been a number of instances where public representatives have been very vulnerable whenever there's a protest. What these slides indicate, Chairperson, which we have identified as SALGA, is streamlining the determination, which we think if this could be done, it will go a long way in ensuring that there's uniformity in the framework. When you look at the determination of public representatives national and provincially, the picture is much more easier in terms of the flow. But when it comes to local government, the picture becomes much more nuanced. Prior to final gazette determination, there's further consultation processes, concurrences, and so on. We think that if this could be treated, it will deal with the easier determination processes to make sure that there's seamless interface. Now, beyond this part, we have also raised areas where we think that they would assist us in reaching uniformity. As I've indicated, Chair, that on the outline of the payment of extra share payment for outgoing councillors, the picture, even though it took more than a year to deal with, owing to some complexities, tax issues, as at today, that picture is no longer 724, it is now 224 in terms of outstanding councillors. The audited financial statements, as I've indicated, we have received better outcomes consistently over 3 years, and this is how we've deployed our resources, and our statement of financial performance is also relatively positive. And as at the last 3 years, this has been our outcomes. And what have we done with issues that have been raised of emphasis? When we compare the last 3 years, the Chairperson, we have actually improved 75%, where, for instance, in 2010-2011, AG might have raised four issues, and at the last audit you would have raised one issue, and there's been 75% improvement around that. Also on the performance information, two issues were raised as matters of emphasis, one issue in 2011-2012 with a 50% improvement, as well as on compliance with laws and a huge improvement of 43%. And where there's identified issues on compliance with SCM, we have now dealt with those issues. We have put in place a comprehensive plan to respond to those issues, and these are the details that are already implemented by the National Executive Committee to exercise oversight over the administration of these matters. As we paint the story of progress, so there remains challenges as well in the organization, and I think consistently we have raised the challenge of financial sustainability of the organization, and if this could be attended to, we think SALGA will go a long way in playing a much more impactful role. We have also consolidated the organization. The last time we reported, we were on the verge of reintegrating SALGA KZN. It has now been fully reintegrated, and SALGA is now operating as one organization. You mentioned, Chairperson, the budgetary review and recommendations report. So we took areas that were raised by the committee last year, and we have implemented some of those areas that were observation by the committee that was meant to be done by end of May 2012. And SALGA has implemented those areas. One was the budget forum, equitable share issues, and we've covered those in detail. The issue of training of counselors has also been taken into account. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks for the presentation. I won't summarize it. I'll sweep at the end. I'll give over to Member Levy if there are any questions, comments, members. I recognize Honorable Bonhomme.
Madam Chair, I just want to look at, I think it's page 32 of strict criteria we use on card employment at local government level. I just want to know a proper explanation about that. Or is it admitting that poor employment of the past, that card employees who did not have capacity? Because my concern is, you know, that if you're cadre, I do not believe that a person should be sidelined or discriminated against if they have the qualification. So I just want to know whether you agree that in the past mistakes are made. And that's the one for now.
Thank you.
I'm ready with it. I recognize Honorable Guzman. Thanks, Chair. And I'd like to thank SALGA and their comprehensive report, if I may just gain clarity, Chair. We speak of having a sound financial standing, and yet we are throughout the country experiencing immense challenges regarding fraud and corruption. What is SALGA doing in order to monitor the spending of funds through municipalities? You know, if I may make an example, Chair, since I've been here in May 2009, we've had Buffalo City Municipality having not accounted for 114 million, and when we pose questions on that, we still never gained any clarity. And today, the AG reports that it's now escalated to 2 billion, and there's still no explanation of where those funds are. And you are seeing this throughout the country, the law. What is SALGA doing in ensuring that we kept the fight against fraud and corruption? We've also heard the CEO speak on the successes of the local elections, which on the other side, they've posed real challenges. We've seen internal factions within parties, which have led to rigging of the election processes, with wrong councillors having found themselves into position than the ones that have been elected. What has SALGA done to monitor those issues and ensuring that the rightful councillors have found themselves into the offices they were elected into? SALGA just speaks of inducting councillors, and yet the National House of Traditional Leaders is one of the stakeholders they often engage with. What is happening with the training and capacitating of traditional leaders who form part of this municipal stakeholders? What is the role as well of SALGA that it's playing, particularly in rural municipalities, in order to capacitate traditional leaders under to understand their role in within the municipality? Something that has just been left unclear to me on this slide chain is probably an issue of clarity. There's a slide the CEO alluded to here, which is entitled "Must Improve Leadership, Governance and Oversight." SALGA facilitated the establishment and effective functioning of MPECs and audit committees. I don't know if you can go back to that. It's got a free state there with a question mark. I don't know what that talks to. Then under a number of acting and vacancies, there's 7 in brackets 25, 2 brackets 12, 18 brackets 61. I just need clarity as to what does that spell out to. Then we have the Eastern Cape sitting at 98%, the Northwest at 100%, which do not have the minimum competencies and skills. So I'd like to understand what is the turnaround strategy in order to ensure that we capacitate and create competencies to ensure that we rid ourselves of such burden. If a municipality or a province is sitting at 98% or 100% and is in charge of serious amounts of budgets to ensure service delivery, how do we then sit comfortably and assume that there will be deliverables when there are incompetent people sitting in those positions? Also, Chair, I'd like to know, are there any performance and deliverable agreements in place to ensure that people can be monitored and we can understand exactly as to their performances and deliverables that they've committed to? What monitoring model is in place to assure competencies, and how do we rid ourselves of the incompetent political cadres, as Honorable Bon Arman has said, that it still poses a challenge in most of these municipalities? You have in KSD a person appointed to be an MM who's just an electrical person. So how are those kind of people supposed to really manage finances? Isn't there some form of base and foundation that we operate from? And lastly, Chair, there's a slide there that talks to the vacant positions, and I'd like to understand how many senior management positions
are left vacant in the 83 municipalities, and when will they be filled? We can't sit with these positions vacant indefinitely. We need to know when will they be filled. Maybe perhaps next year we sit again with SALGA. Will we be sitting at the same position? Can we get an understanding as to when will those positions be filled? Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Honorable Nelson. Honorable Nelson.
Thanks, Chairperson. Also want to say thank you to SALGA for the presentation that they've prepared. I think unqualified audit report for 3 years in a row, great. But there will always be room for improvement, Chairperson. And then there will always be things on the ground that is not that needs to be attended to. The issues I want to raise are the induction program of counselors. Has there been monitoring and evaluation around that? Some of us sat into these programs, into these induction programs. Some of them were very well organized. Some of them were very well run with very competent people, and others were not so fantastic. I mean, we need to be honest about that. And so has there been a monitoring and an evaluation process around that? And would you be coming back to some of the issues that I'm sure that you yourself have picked up? Chairperson, the gratuity payment is very honorable. But we're glad to see that the amount is coming down and that you'll have been very involved in that. The risk cover as well, because we have councillors who have lost homes many years ago and who are still suffering the consequences. So one is very grateful for that. My question, Chairperson, with regard to IGR, is SALGA involved with or in discussions with the FFC? Because the FFC often raised the whole thing of the equitable share. So what is SALGA's, is the relationship between the FFC and SALGA around that? Chairperson, I think we're all concerned about the audit outcomes, the municipal audit outcomes. And so we're very, very glad to see that SALGA has identified these four provinces. But my problem is, I'm going to make an example of the province I come from, Northwest. I think there are a few municipalities that put, or one municipality, that for three financial years did not submit financial statements. So what is SALGA's role in that process? How does SALGA come in and assist? We've all got representation onto SALGA. How do we assist? How does SALGA assist in this process? That is totally unacceptable. I presume most of those that are not yet finalized, the audit reports, come from those areas where there's been problems with submission of financial statements. The issue of the risk is covered. And then what kind of litigation has been brought against the against SALGA? I've spoken to monitoring and evaluation. Chairperson, and then the plan that is put, action plan that has been put into place to address the Auditor General's comments on oversight role that is not being played 100%, management that is not reviewing and monitoring compliance with laws and so on. There is a plan in place, but could we then get feedback on that as the idea is being implemented? Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Honourable
Member. Thanks, Chair. Mine is on this process, which can be said mostly the councillors. What are the things that
which we know that probably they are not supposed to be employed with the skills and everything. But if you tell them, you find out that they are there are those who manage to ship in and then give them some new contracts. No, very well there's a lot. There's therefore no capacity. I mean, there's therefore no skills. How do you check that one? And also the question of make fun. Yeah, if it's we go down there, most of them they didn't spend the make fun. We know very well that the capacity is not there. What is your program about the capacity of those counselors? Whoever, no skills, no skills at all. They are getting a lot of money from this grant. There are a lot of grants which are going down. And then the federal department has got a lot to say about the grant. That they must confirm with this and that. But the people sit down, they put no capacity. As a result, no, they can't give the people perform because they say, no capacity. They know what to do. If you can just go back there. And also to you as Father now. It's nice to on page 5 that it was a disclaimer, unqualified. Then comes the question, when we look at the claim audit, you managed to get unqualified for 3 years. But we are preaching that after 2015, your goal is to get a claim audit. But you can't move for 3 years to claim audit. Thanks.
Chairperson, yes, I forgot one of them. I overlooked it, and this one is I think it's quite crucial. The implementation of the Municipal Systems Amendment Act. Again, I think right within Salga, you're sitting with a municipality that is an acting municipal manager for 3 years. The act says that you can only act for 3 months. I think it is. Is it 6 months and then a further 3 months with the approval of the MEC? Yes. I think it's 3-3. And then what is Salga's role in all of this? Acting positions or acting senior managers acting as a direct impact on the type of work that has been put out. So what is Salga's role in this? How are you dealing with this? Because it's unacceptable. It's just unacceptable. Thank you.
Thanks, Honourable Members, for the questions. And also I'd like to come in at the end and thank for the presentation. And also thank for the interventions and the programs thus far you've highlighted in your presentation as part of intervention. And also, I just don't want us to take for granted the improvement of the audit outcome on checking back, tracing back the three years back, it has improved a lot. But on that note, we must not mean that we must sit down. I appreciate the fact that you've been able to identify the 81 municipalities that you need to pay focus on. But my worry, we were having 2 weeks before we rise, we invited MSCs from the 9 provinces to come before the committee and brief us on their performance and experiences and challenges in general. So the issue of audit outcomes come in. Provinces we've identified after evaluating the meeting with committee members that are limping is Free State, Northwest and Limpopo, whom we need to pay attention on those ones. But with Limpopo and Northwest, I'm very much concerned with the high use of consultants, which maybe will lead to the high consumption of their little budget that they have in paying those consultants with a very long service contract that they've signed with those consultants. Our questions in those presentations as a portfolio committee members, we asked MSCs doing those presentations saying that they are trapped in that because there is a lack of skills. They can headhunt. It's very difficult. And secondly, those contracts they made with those consultants to assist them to improve their audit outcomes, it's that they must leave behind a certain skills which we must monitor, we are not guaranteed of. So that's the high critical. I think I'll give you also on your interventions maybe to monitor even that, how consumption in crippling municipalities of those high rate of consultants they are using. And also, you in your presentation, you made strides and interventions emanating from your from National SAGA conferences, your resolutions that we need to establish impacts in all provinces. As you've highlighted, Free State and Western Cape doesn't have stats even from the department on how many. We as a portfolio committee, we called in MSCs from the two provinces, Free State and Western Cape. So they promised end of September there will be something. We met as MEC, we asked for a follow-up on a movement or a step forward after those meetings. We haven't received anything from that one. So I'll also ask SALGA to monitor very closely, as you've agreed that you'll also monitor the movement step forward on establishing those. There were some challenges that the MEC have raised on those issues, difficulties that is she's confronting on establishing those MPEGs. In Western Cape, they were saying we came up with to establish these structures, but they are not regulated. In other words, I don't know whether I'm interpreting them wrong. In other words, they are not forced to establish those structures, and they are having structures in place whom they see it, they do it duplication as MPECs. But we interacted with them saying that as much as they are having those structures, and also their argument was saying there are few municipalities, those municipalities that don't have MPECs, they also got good audit outcome results. So they see no need, MPECs are already there because they are calling with other names. Those structures are, we discussed, we engaged them when we discussed at the end with the MEC, they agreed that they will come up or change the names with those structures. We are already there. They've established to monitor because our explanation was establishing MPECs doesn't mean that they're only going to monitor implementation of finances or in the municipalities. Also, a monitor, even service delivery. It's a broad structure which will monitor even service delivery through monitoring on what the IDP speaks on. So they eventually agree. So I'm also posing a challenge to you also to monitor that once at the end. We need to see 100% formulation of functional MPECs. And also in your presentation, you CEO and SALGA members in the committee, you made mention that you are very much worried on capacity and competency, and you are trying to support SPO mandate by training officials and councillors. I just want to check to go back on the also on what members have contributed as an implementation of the amendment of the Municipal Systems Act, as also we're proposing its amendment. Because with the Municipal Systems Act, we are trying to address all those the capacities and incompetences. But I just want to check on yourselves, besides not having regulations in place, but what about the implementation of the Act? Because it's not the whole Act that needs to be amended. Some few sections that you're interested that you need to amend. But also, on my surprise, we've been given opportunity for the discussions of the Act, even to SALGA at this level, almost to the end of the processes of the Act. I even raised a question, the chairperson was Honorable Lichisa then. I even raised saying that, but chairperson, at this stage, it's a formal stage now, why do you allow SALGA to make contributions as fast? Because now it's a formal stage whereby we are supposed to discuss as committee members only. He said he wants all of them to be satisfied on those ones. All of them, and I was surprised, Chairperson, to hear that there is amendment without any implementation. They haven't even started implementing, but they need an amendment. I need, if you can, blushly go through that one, but why is it? And also with the issue of regulations, we agreed when passing that legislation that within a short space of time, now we passed it last year and almost a year, we haven't even come up with those regulations. And also in municipalities, they are continuing. I won't mention names, the department knows they are continuing hiring incompetent MM with not having those relevant qualifications that you need. They still continue. How are we going to reverse those processes? And also, members have made mention of a decline of spending of MIC funding, but I just also want to check, you were facilitating the issue of compensation or, I don't know whether I'm calling it in the correct name, of outgoing councillor. But yesterday we were discussing with the department in their annual report, it's highlighted that 262 million is unspent that is supposed to be given to those councillors who are out. I just want to check on your side, is that, do you aware of that? And which areas or councillors that are struggling to get their compensation money or their, you'll correct me, how do you call it? And also you said in some of your priority, 10 priority areas, you also made mention by participating on COP17 and climate change, you also championing in assisting municipalities in disaster areas, but on disaster relief fund from the department side, there is 727 million that is not spent. What are you saying about that? And also going back to MPEX, I just want to check, I'm just throwing a discussion to you, saying that you've been negotiating or recognizing that chairpersons for Section 79 committees must be full-time. I just want to check with only MPEX, I don't want to say Section 78, all committees, but specifically on MPEX because it falls under Section 78, it's being tagged under Section 78, which is an ad hoc, a council can dissolve anyhow. And for us, the site, we took a decision to establish them because they are very important. I'm throwing a discussion on you, which, what about if we can maybe amend any police or legislation that they can be taxed only MPEX Section 79 so that they can be full-time, so that they will be able to be full-time in the office. Thanks. I'll now give over to you, Chairperson, for responses. No, before that, I'm seeing hands. Honorable Mandela, you want to have a second?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I just missed out something that I needed clarity on. CEO spoke to an initiating or initiating initiation of Coastal Cities program, and particularly they talk of linking Thekwini and the city of Maputo. And I want to know internally what is happening with our own coastal cities. I think you can talk of Saldanha, you can talk of Cape Town, you can talk of Port Elizabeth, Kuha, East London, Devon, Richards Bay. I haven't had mention of any of those other ports in to linking to one another, but yet we are already looking at having links with other cities outside our borders. Yet the major challenge that they've highlighted here is that SALGA has got inadequate budget restraint. So I'd really seek clarity on that. But again, they talk about their international profiling and the various countries they work with. Maybe I'd like to gain clarity on their role as far as the SADC region, or even to utilize the African Parliament, which is locally in Midrand. What is their relationship with that parliament? But if you look at the other economic regions, being East Africa, West Africa, and the immense challenges that we are facing in the Sahel region with the various conflicts that have emerged there, what impact has that had on their international profile? Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, I'll give over to
you. May I, if you allow, Chair, just give members to address specific issues, and I will also give
No, thanks, Chair. Thank you very much. And the opportunity given by the committee itself. Well, a few issues, and I'll deal with the easy one. My principal will take the difficult one.
Delegating up.
Yeah. Chair, one of the issues which I think it's going to be important, as just to mention, is that SALGA is an association. And being an association, it becomes a voluntary in terms of how our laws structure it. And that creates a problem, one way or another. Hence the chairperson's earlier on his input, on his opening. Our objective as SALGA and your objective as the committee, I see as really the same. So you need to strengthen one another in that scope. And I'm saying this to make reference to number of even appointments which are done by municipalities. And municipalities in majority led by political parties. And from that particular point, as they do take decisions, they take the facts. But SALGA, we do give them. There are many and many and many secularists that are out there, they have. What they must do, what they can't do. At some point, SALGA, we even said, when there's appointment, SALGA must constitute part of the panel. So that we sit at the panel when they interviews, so that we can drive the point home in terms of what we want, what is the law saying, that's including the skills, including the capacity of the individuals. That's the ultimate backstop with the council. So I think it's going to be important that all of us recognize that. And I don't want to go to the other details to show you our members who come from the structures. What we did, SALGA, for an example, Chair, just before the last elections, we went to parties and we said we want 70% of councillors must be retained. The opposite happened. 70% are new councillors. Maybe we should regret why we did that. But that's what we did in a form of addressing this challenge. In one province, in Mpumalanga, where I am coming from, Chair,
out of 21 municipalities, 21, 20 are literally new mayors, with only one municipality is an old mayor. You see? And I suggest we might talk and talk and talk to them, so what shall we do and shall we do and that. And we have played our role. And I think we must indicate to the committee that we have done that particular role in terms of going forward. Well, it's one of our calls, the risk. The law removed the issue of the councillor's risk. When you introduce the MFMA, we've removed that. Councillors are exposed. And day by day, Salga will ask this question. And we see the number of protests, violence. Number of studies was made, research suggested from 2012 in January until July, you had about 86% of protests throughout the country and their violence. And violence in such a way that councillors are the victims on matters which they are not their competency or their mandate, housing, not the competence of municipalities, the competence of the province. Councillors, their houses get banned for houses, which of course not say over that. And we've made this matter many times. We've made even presentation to the presidential envoy called in Khayelitsha in 2010 to say this is what are the problems, and we believe very strong that we need to amend that or allow that process to come back where councillors we can cover their properties. And we believe members of parliament, you are at a better place as part of your community to assist us. Speed up and down. It's just a discussion. I'm not even sure what the minister will release. And we'll have the teachers here as well. As a matter, it's been there in all documents can make reference on that particular. So it remains our concern as well, as Salga, as every time we're exposed, and for that matter, we're cancelled as well. Traditional leaders, I think Nkosi is correct, Nkosi Mandela is correct. Through our program with the CETA, we are looking at this matter that it's no point capacitating councillors living traditional leaders, more especially in terms of Section 81 of the Structures Act, whose traditional leaders are expected to participate in municipalities. Many of them have had a role. But when they participate, it's difficult if they are not informed equally. You always have a problem. So it's like we're not addressing the problem. That act will not be realized. So therefore, we are looking forward to do this training as a joint program with the traditional leaders. The always challenge will be the resources together with our CETAs and of course the COCTA as the mandatory or executive authority have to come on board in us addressing these particular issues that are concerned. The clean audit, yes. Well, the argument is always existing in the mind that what is a clean audit and what is unqualified? What does it differ? You see, maybe just a term, clean audit, and we're all calling ourselves about this clean audit. But in actual fact, municipalities, when they get the unqualified, it's a clean audit, effective. You see, internationally, there are two things. It's qualified and unqualified, or we go to disclaimer for advert. There's no such thing called clean audit per se. It's in real terms. Now, the rest we want that term. We want to achieve it, of course. But the associations of this nature, which we put about 9 provinces and there were other areas coming in, KwaZulu-Natal has been one of the areas which I think was the one, the court. Indeed, we are moving forward. We hopefully believed that we are striving for that way that we don't know exactly of the clean audit. Can probably, we are striving very high that we should be able to acquire that particular clean audit. Well, Chair, the issue around the spending, it remains a major concern, the spending by our municipalities. But of course, it attributes in other cases because of the skills that are then the municipalities. It's in terms of your supply chain. That's one concern. Secondly, I have realized that even DORA, the app itself, at times is very problematic.
it doesn't as well, even for the planning of municipalities. If you miss the time of planning because of not having the particular scheme, you are likely not to spend your money. You see. Now, the DORA immediately kicks in and takes all the money away from the particular area. So I thought that's one matter of must raise, but of course, we love to spend the money that has been given to us. My last issue I want to deal with is what the chair of raised, Section 79. Well, Chair, this is what was struggling, Section 79. Then we must go to the Act. What is the Act says about Section 79? This is the Act that governs. I think there's a distinction between Section 79 as an oversight committee at parliamentary level and Section 79 at the municipal level. It's a clear distinction, and sometimes you confuse the two, because at national level, you refer as a portfolio committee that are doing oversight over a particular department because you have given budget for that minister or to that NEC. So you are monitoring what you gave. But when you come to local government, the money is given to the mayor. And the council itself does the oversight. The council, when the council constitutes itself, does oversight. Now, what it does, the Act provides, the Act doesn't talk about oversight. If you look at Section 79 of the Structures Act and Section 8 of both, respectively, does not mention what's so-called oversight. It's just what we think we should have an oversight. Now, you've got Section 80, which is the committee of the mayor, which effectively they must advise the mayor in terms of the issues. Now, you've got an MPEC, which we all agree, all our municipalities. If you look at it very closely, you can arrive at one conclusion, that the Section 79 must be only the MPEC, so that the advice council and do the oversight and council can prepare the issues. Not Section 79 per se as we interpret them and want to equate them with the one at the national and provincial level. So that sometimes create problems where you find the Section 79 meets, they discuss before the mayor, they recommend to the mayor, and then they think they are doing oversight, which they are not. They become doing the executive function. You see. Now you end up having duplications, confusions, and problems. And corner to corner Salga will be called in to talk about you, there's a problem here. And some municipality says, council can't sit because Section 79 has not met. But you say, what's the point? You see, Section 79 can't let the council not to sit because they've not met. The mayor must meet in the mayoral committee and take the issues to council, which were there as well. And from there, you can then decide what to do issues. But of course, we're trying to get more clarities and get more solutions. How best we can either find a way of replicating what we perceived from national and downstairs. But I think those are the distinctions. And I think that's what we said. We need to amend the legislation so that the executive and the legislative and the municipalities are separate. As it stands now, it's a combination. You see, the powers of council is rest with the council itself, unlike at provincial, at national and provincial level, which we've got the executive arm and the legislative arm, which is the parliament and the executive as the president. But the municipalities, that's a huge difference. In one case, Chair, we went to one council and there was a lot of debate, but we said, well, truth is not to debate because it's not parliament. Well, confusing. Debate should happen in parliament. Their duty is to implement and make sure that people get water. So you can't find the whole day discussing how people must not get water or get water. It's a real issue. So I think those are issues that SALGA was grappling with. But of course, the issue of the capacity of councillors, it must be all the time is there. Because every time capacity is there. I think those are issues I felt I should bring to the attention of the board in my attempt to respond. Thank you very much.
Chair, can I take this opportunity to add? I'm sure we would appreciate the comments about SALGA and improvement, the performance of SALGA in relation to Auditor General's report. Just to indicate that in relation to councillor induction, we do have a process of, remember the initial part of induction was really to identify the skill gaps that exist. And subsequently, we've had an opportunity to go through and identify where we can up or lift counselors in relation to what we want to respond. So the point is that there has been monitoring evaluation, and I'm sure we're going to have a continuous learning process of plugging them into skills that we think are critical. So the work has been done in relation to that. And remember that training is continuous, or call it empowerment is continuous. So SALGA creates platforms for development for counselors, and we continue to do that via the local government center, via different trainings that exist. Clearly, Chair, I think the committee has a huge expectation from SALGA. And I think some of the issues are rested with all of us working together, more than SALGA giving each individual response, i.e., it is SALGA that has proposed to both the NCOP and COCTA that a lot of councillors are still under pressure and are subject to attacks in relation to the protests. And we have put forward that we perhaps need to create an understanding that from national fiscals, we create the space for risk cover for customers. And this point was presented in the recent SOP SALGA relations in terms of the week for local government. And therefore, we still want to lobby you to be part of that process, that councillors receive the risk cover, and therefore they are covered by the state against the attacks. I think the point is made by my colleague that, of course, we understand clearly what is the literature or the concept that are involved in audit, what is qualified and what's unqualified. And there's a political decision to bracket something called clean audit. And we think we agree that SALGA must eventually have a clean audit, so we're not opposed to that, meaning that the report without any matter of emphasis. And I think the work is to go to that process. I think the appreciation is that it has been improvement and work done to really reprofile SALGA differently. So, Chair, I think that we are engaged with the Auditor Generals, and I'm sure in different meetings we share notes and see how best can SALGA get to a point of a clean audit. The other questions was raised about our international profiling, and I'm sure I can refer members to page 52-58 of the report that we presented. In relation to SADC, we are fully involved. We are involved with the local government, Swaziland, Zimbabwe, Botswana, and our focus has been to help them to provide institutional reforms on how they work. Recently, we went to be part of Botswana discussions and see how best we can help them to reestablish themselves. So we are fully involved, and I think internationally we are also participating. At the core of it is not to go outside the bracket of our national mandate, but to ensure that we can influence and make local government to be relevant. And I'm sure the other report that speaks to MPEG, we are making a point that across the whole provinces of South Africa, there are municipalities that have established Gauteng 100% that the MPEGs. The report indicates that there will be municipalities that are still behind. So the question mark in the Free State would mean that there's a very little progress, but work has been done to ensure that the oversight responsibility over municipalities is done. So the essence is that SALGA is a body that represents a collective voice of municipalities in the country. It's engaged to influence processes that we think eventually all of us would have a better governance, local municipality governance in South Africa. Other technical issues, the chair would manage them, and the chief executive, but we can leave the rest to the chair.
Chair. Okay. see I'm giving it a different character. thanks very much. Thanks, members' leadership present here. Chairperson, what has been indicated earlier, that by its nature, SALGA will have limitations. Hence, the introductory remarks that let us look into the issue of the Act. What type of a body we would like to have so that it can have powers and functions in dealing with challenges that you on daily basis are observing out there. I think we are limited by the fact that we are just an association. But Chairperson, it is proper that the issues that are highlighted are brought forth to this committee. In particular, even if it's not our term, CADA development, I must indicate, is the Auditor General's term. So we are putting it as it is. But the fact, the issue that has been raised by the Honorable Member, Bob Bonhomme, and also Babu Mandela, on the issue of the CADA development incapacity and also the turnover on municipalities or people or the list have been changed. The fact of the matter is those issues, they need political parties to deal with. Political parties must deal with the consequences of their decisions on local government, full stop. It doesn't matter which political party. If we really want to have decent delivery. Hence, we are raising the issues as we raised them. We would not obviously have powers to change members on the party lists and so forth. But the fact of the matter is that 70% of councillors after elections are new councillors. Then it becomes our, not really burden, but our responsibility to ensure that they get properly inducted, they get properly trained. But the investment that this government has put over the years in terms of capacitating members, it then gets lost. I think those are the issues that we really need to look into and deal with them proper when we talk also with those who are having, whose decisions are having impact on local government, and those are the political parties. As such, we might not necessarily have much powers to really engage at that level. But Chairperson, when we said let's have MPACs, the main thing was to address the issue that is raised by Nkosi Mandela about corruption and also fraud that is perceived at municipalities. You need to have a body that can then account proper. Because every time when we look into municipalities, the mayor will account. The mayor accounts, the mayor is an executive body. So as you see the challenges that we are highlighting, a body that will then be able to and give reports, we can then say our impact reports from municipalities are indicating these issues on this year and so forth. So we want, that's the intention of us lobbying very hard that we do have this type of bodies to assist in that regard. So the question, what is SALGA doing? SALGA is trying to, let's have these bodies that will then assist in this regard. But you are right, Chairperson, the government goes on whilst certain things are not resolved. As you indicated, the appointments and so on, whereas we have whilst COPTA, National Treasury, we are looking into key competencies and put them as part of our legislation, what type of people you would need to do certain functions and so forth. So whilst that has not been finalized, yes, we also are putting pressure that you need to fill up critical posts. So one or another, you will always be found with this type of a dilemma. But I think we really need to speed up some of the decisions that we have taken as this government. We are engaging, Chairperson, with the FFC, Bob Kumalo, Chairperson, we have. And the issues that we raised there were, we might even not, because it's a sensitive issue, we might not even be really highlighting the issue of local business tax if we revisit the manner in which we deal with the formula on equitable share. First, we need to acknowledge that those municipalities, those metros, they are a space where revenue is generated. It is not generated anywhere else, somewhere. It is generated there. The taxpayers are from those areas. The businesses are from those areas and so forth. And we need to look into how then can we then assist those big cities and so on to be able to increase on investment and be able to assist with the infrastructure that is needed for investment, obviously, to take place at those places. It's not like they are big municipalities, that's it. And we know the challenges that we are faced with when it comes to immigration and so forth, people moving to those places with the hope that they will get jobs and so on. So there are those challenges. We raise them with the commission. And also the issue of smaller municipalities. We can't paint on these municipalities with one brush. There are municipalities that do not have any base for revenue at all, put in none, zero. And these are municipalities at the end of the day who say they must have competent officials to perform, they must have, we know that they will not be able to attract decent investment, decent resources, decent skills, full stop. Simply because we are not looking into what type of a formula in terms of the equitable share that should then bring these municipalities also to be places that deliver a service for South Africans in general. So we have raised the issues with the commission. We have made a proper written submission in that regard, Chairperson. So I think that work is being handled at that level there. So that one, yes, it is. We hope that it will basically come up in a manner that really will make us now focus on the real issues. Chairperson, really, I'm appealing to the committee that we really need to look into this thing of the ad hoc arrangement of SALC. You are raising, for instance, that this government is having money for disaster, and the money is not spent. The money is not spent simply because the Act says for an area to be declared a disaster. It is not the mayor that declares an area to be a disaster. And you know how our laws work. By the time the area is declared a disaster, so much time has passed that you know how you manage in the meanwhile. Actually, by the time you declare an area a disaster, it's no more a disaster. Hence, you then are saying, but there are disasters, there's no response, and there's money. The fact of the matter is the MEC, in consultation with, obviously, with the colleague also at another level, must look, make motivations, and so forth. By that time, stock, life, and whatever, dying and what. By the time you really are declaring in terms of your gazette and what, not much could be done by that time. So, hence, there is a need for a local government to have a space in terms of legislation where we can look into how we can deliver a better service
fast-tracking service, as I indicated earlier. We really need, as long as we have these laws that we say they are so good, the goodness of the law is in terms of its impact, in terms of its delivery, not on the people. And that's where we really will have to look into these matters. Yes, on the issues about Free State on that on the table there, there were also other technical issues. For instance, whether the chairperson of an MPEC with a municipality of not more than 40 councillors can be full time. So we have to send this thing back and say, look, something isn't right. You don't want to have this municipality also burdened with other budgetary problems simply because now we are adding to the other. So they have to go and clean and clean the act there. But I must indicate, Chairperson, with our Minister Cocktail and the department, we have taken a decision that our MECs will be receiving reports from the identified municipalities, these 18 municipalities, that, and these MECs will then, in the min-max, they will be giving reports on performance of these municipalities. And it's quite simple. The Auditor General's plan, we have an audit plan, and it indicates the areas that you need to be working on. It's a tick box that the Auditor General says, yes, there is an improvement. They normally put those pictures there with a smile, a frown, and what. There's an improvement on this. Then we can then be able to come to this body and say, of the 81 municipalities identified, there is no improvement on municipality A, B, C, D. This is in terms of the audit plan and so forth. So those are the arrangements that we have agreed with COCTA, and those are the arrangements that we will be working on in this regard. My colleagues have indicated, Chairperson, on the role that we are playing with our SADC colleagues. But we also need to be mindful that we are not a state. We are municipalities, we are just local government. So there are areas where we also need to know our field. But we are working quite close with our SADC colleagues, in particular in the areas of sort of peer review. We have acknowledged the fact that we play a critical role in ensuring that investments also from those areas can be actually be attracted to our area. So we need to play a role at that level. But our role sometimes we although we don't really highlight it that much, Chairperson, I must indicate that it's quite important. For instance, quite recently we've even been approached by South Sudan to say we will be putting local government, we need to be assisted. You know, those are the areas where we also are playing quite a meaningful role. So when we talk about the funding of SALGA, we really need to look into it in terms of these functions. And as long as 80% of the budget comes from the municipalities, of which municipalities still are having their own financial constraints, it becomes a problem for this association to really do its decent work. And we really need to look into this. But those are the issues I think we will come front to the committee and put forth proper. In order for this body to do as expected from not only from the committee, but from all other bodies out there. We have taken a decision, Chairperson, that we need to service the members and they need to feel our presence. That then means even they, if they are not pulling their socks, we need to be there to say, hey, in terms of our peer review also, as municipalities, you can't be performing in the manner that we are doing. We have been sending members, bodies, committees to certain municipalities that have been having problems. For instance, the recent, what is it, Brampo, we have sent you? Here in the Eastern Cape, the Nelson Mandela Metro. It's quite a significant municipality with Ikuga in, and we can't always be having problems there. And our colleagues can't focus on issues that are related to municipality. So there are those efforts that we are putting in dealing with. Yes, we are quite worried, Northwest, that the majority of municipalities are not performing well in terms of this. We need to focus on those areas and so forth. But we also are fully aware, Chairperson, that where there is political instability, the municipality can perform. So it becomes very difficult, even if you are Salga or you are anybody, to assist there. You know, so we are mindful that the environment that we are operating in has other role players that also need to be brought on board in this regard and so forth. So it is not really an easy environment, I must indicate, Chairperson, but it's not an excuse. But it is just a complex environment that needs South Africans to come together in ensuring that we really can have decent service delivery to South Africans generally. And when we highlight some of the issues, we are highlighting them so that also our political principles at another level can be able then to articulate and be able to indicate some of the challenges that the municipalities are faced with. It's no excuse that anyway, that the municipalities should not focus on what they are expected to be doing. And in this leadership, current leadership, Chairperson, we have raised the issue that the political leadership of municipalities must have interest in the work that is taking place at municipalities. You can't be a mayor there or any other councillor. You just sign off things that you also don't understand. And some of these things, we have been taking them for granted, very, that, as one example, I might now be taking much of your time, but I want to indicate something, Chairperson, that when we say women are occupying serious positions in our society, is it the municipality plans accommodating those type of visions? No. Why? We are just building houses in terms of the place, and we just leave a space and call it green space. We don't accommodate issues of facilities for children, creches and so on, so that women in our society can then be freed to be able to do what is expected of them. So I'm trying to say, we are trying to inculcate now a culture of leadership leading in their own municipality so that administration can also perform, rather than the other way where we basically had the administration leading and leadership having just to account on visions that basically were not necessary from the leadership in that regard. So there are issues and really problems out there, Chairperson, but I think with this type of engagement, we will then be able to go far in addressing issues of local government. I ask that if there are any issues that were not directly addressed, the CEO will have to address them so that the committee gets satisfactory answers from our side.
Because I won't give you another opportunity because time constraints. Yes. I think CEO is going to help us by if there are some other questions that haven't responded to, that you write them, you send to us, so that we'll be able, like some of the concerns and recommendations and comments that you've discussed here. After this process, we will compile a report with some recommendations and some frames
that to the stakeholders that need to respond on the concerns that we are having. Because we are get coming.
That's what I was actually wanting to add into. If we can leave questions for a written response. So I wanted to add in questions that would assist us into gaining our care.
You can come in.
Thank you, Chair. We'll just highlight that maybe the CEO was about to talk to that slide, but he can submit that in writing. And also the issue of how many senior management positions are left vacant in the 83 municipalities and when will they be filled can also be submitted in writing. If I may also just request as to what SALGA recommends we do in regards to their visibility or maybe their absence in the interviews that are held within the municipalities. What could we do to ensure that they are rendered to be effective and efficient in monitoring that? But I just don't want us to leave this issue of councillors lightly, because councillors having their houses burnt, they are often found to be at the center of these conflicts. If you look at the oversight we did in Kumha, the houses there, which are built just outside the town, a councillor owns about 10 houses there and is renting them out to the community. So such issues do need to be looked at. And when you do inquire further, you will find that councillors are really in the center of these issues. And this is why they land themselves in these problems. And if you go to Mtata in the KSD area, a councillor has signed out 45 million for RTP houses, which are non-existent in Mandela Park. So that also needs to be looked at. How a councillor signs out checks, which is a duty of the municipal manager, also is a problematic. So these things, I just raise them, Chair, that they ought to not be taken lightly. But in particular, Chair, can we also have a mechanism of blacklisting councillors that have been found to have engaged in fraudulent cases and have been tried and tested through proper channels within our judiciary? For example, if you within the SALGA website, you have a list of blacklisted people so that we can be able to monitor who's blacklisted so that municipalities do not continue hiring people that have been found into these fraudulent matters. If I may make an example, Councillor Kwatiso in KSD was found to have been squandered municipal funds, and yet he is reappointed in these past elections as a councillor. So how does things like that happen when we have an association as SALGA, which should be monitoring these issues? I think the issue of enabling them to effectively do their work can ensure that we are able to blacklist these people. There is also, last, if I may talk to the emphasis on big metros and big cities, it just becomes a consistent thing that we tend to do. Yet I don't see us talking about township or villages. And if I may make an example, in the Clean City campaign, there's no Clean Village campaign, and we need to look at that. Thank you, Chair.
No, Chair, I suspect this discussion is a separate meeting. Because it is at extremes, Chair, that a councillor can have 45 and be left. But I think the Chair made a point that we are not a political party. We don't choose councillors. So So parties must go and process that. And if there's a counselor, that why a case can't be opened? So that the expectation from salary can be to choose which best counselor. So I'm saying it might be important that we rearrange and further re-explain what is the brief of salary comparatively for what other questions are raised. Thank you, Chair.
The other
No, thanks. In conclusion, maybe I'll like to support your suggestion that we need to arrange other meeting to discuss some of these issues. Anyway, because of time, I haven't even summarized your presentation. At the end, I used to summarize and come up with some recommendations, but we do it when we compile the broader report, and we'll definitely send it to you to check our final report with all the stakeholders that you are engaged with. Thanks ever so much for the presentation. If you can, you may leave or sit to observe other stakeholders. Honorable Chairperson, Demarcation Board, I'll give over to you. Maybe can I allow 5 minutes?
Yeah.
So that we grab tea and if Salga goes, so that we'll be able to.
You can't bring that to council for
no, but
you are a leader in the government. You still stay with that thing. So where they start,
no.
Can't be
right. No,
that's what you're supposed to be doing. No councillor has power to proceed anything.
But what I'm highlighting is that look at the monitor.
Thank you.